Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are the truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you prayed to the Father and said, Father, I've taught them the truth. Your word is the truth. I thank you that this morning we have your Bible, the Bible, Lord, that you have given us, and by your Holy Spirit you make it the living word in our hearts. You are the word that became flesh, Lord Jesus. So teach us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, yeah? So we're going to go to Romans 3 this morning. Last time we finished with Romans 3 verse 18. We can quickly maybe do a recap on what we did, just to get some traction going. So we spoke about the fear of God last week, keeping the fear of God before our eyes. And in the context that Paul is speaking here, he's speaking into Rome, and at Rome there's Greeks and there's Jews. There's people represented from the whole world, because Rome is the heart of the empire, the Roman Empire. But he's specifically talking to the Jews, and he's speaking to the Greeks. And he's saying to the Jews that you have received the oracles of God. I'll speak with you. Can you hear me clearly there at the back? So he said to the Jews, you have received the oracles of God. You have received on Mount Sinai the laws. Moses received the laws from God. They had the prophets, minor prophets, major prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Jonah, all those prophets. And he said you had prophecies. You can read us one of the first prophecies in the Bible. It is the first prophecy in the Bible with regards to Jesus. Genesis 3 verse 15. Genesis 3 verse 15. God himself is speaking here. He's speaking to Satan. He says, I will put enmity or division between you and the woman, Eve, and between your seed and her seed. And her seed is capital S. It's talking about Jesus. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. So Satan did bruise the heel of Jesus when Jesus died on the cross of Golgotha. But Jesus bruised his head when he walked into his kingdom, into hell, where the throne room of God, where the throne room of Satan is. He walked in there and he said to Satan, give me the keys of hell and of death. So what Jesus did there is that, remember, God made this world. We're going to talk a little bit about the glory of God today. It's not the title. Our title is Justification by Faith in Jesus Christ. That title runs now from Romans 3 all the way to about Romans 12. But the glory of God plays a big role. When God created this earth, it was glorious. The sun, the moon, the stars, nature, animals, man. It was glorious. It reflected his glory. It reflected who he was. It's so important to focus on the character of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is to know that God is. We think faith, I thought for a very long time, that faith is the means I can use to get something from God. But that is not what faith is. Faith is to know that God is. It's about his character. It's about who he is. He is good. When he appeared to Moses in that burning bush, Moses said, you are sending me to this people. Who must I say you are? Who sent me? He says, I am that I am is sending you. Jehovah, I am that I am. Not what I can do, what I have done, but who I am. I am the one that's sending you. This is the essence of faith, is God Himself. We grab onto God's heart, not His hand. We grab onto His heart. That's faith. You will move your world if you can believe in the essence of God, of who He is. So, Paul, the writer of Romans, is saying, you Jews have received the oracles of God. You've received the prophets, the law. Even today, we have received the oracles of God. We've received the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four different versions, four different angles of looking at Jesus being born on this earth, of Jesus being a servant to man, of Jesus dying on the cross and going up. Lots of witnesses saw Jesus coming, going up. He went up. His disciples were sad. The angels asked him, why are you sad? The same way that Jesus went up, same way He's going to come down. That is our hope. There is no other hope that we can have in this world. We can't hope for a better economy. We can't hope for a better money system than what we have in the rand. We can't hope for a better government. The only hope we have is the fact that Jesus is coming back. The same way He went up, the same way He's coming back. So we've got the Gospels, we've got the Epistles. We're handling the first epistle in the Bible now. Romans is the first epistle that was written. Romans is the foundation of all the epistles. You want to understand John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you want to understand Peter, you want to understand any of the epistles, Colossians, Philippians, we need to understand Romans. It's foundational to understanding all the other epistles. So we've received that. It's oracles of God. We said last time that all mankind are liars. So there's such an argument in our education system, in the world, in the education system, to make the Bible a book full of lies. So such a case against the Bible. And in this passage in chapter 3 of Romans that we looked at, it says very clearly, because the same problem was in Rome at the time, and it says very clearly that God cannot lie. It's not in His nature to lie. Lies cannot come out of the mouth of God, because He is not a liar. He is truth. He is light. He is life. He is love. Therefore, lies cannot come out of Him. Where does lies come from? It comes from the father of the lies. He is the one in the Garden of Eden that lied to Eve and to Adam. He deceived them. When He came to them and He twisted the truth and said, did God say? And He gave them another picture, and they went for that picture. And they lost relationship. They lost glory. Glory, the Greek word for glory is kabot. It's like a heaviness. It's this weightiness, rather. It's not a heaviness like in depression. It's a weightiness of God's character coming to rest on a person or a congregation or a city. It is that glory that Paul is talking into. You'll hear a lot in this book. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Because the Holy Spirit, through this writer, wants restoration between different cultures, different generations, different status in life. I sometimes laugh because we are in middle class. We are the middle class. But then we've got these divisions in middle class. You've got the upper middle class, you've got the middle class, and the lower. And And we look down. If we think somebody is below us, we look down at them. The gospel is addressing that and saying there's one basis to approach Jesus Christ, and it's through faith. There's no other basis. It's not based on class, gender, culture, background. It's not based on that. One basis, and it's by faith. I'm going to start preaching just now. This is just the recap of last time. So we said carnal hearts encourage themselves in sin. That was the last time we spoke about that. We saw that even the master himself was accused of being a servant of Beelzebul, of Satan. The previous section that we finished up to 3 verse 18 basically proved that all men are sinners. Paul is making this argument because the Greeks, the philosophers of the time, said we can be righteous, we can be wise, and that's why Paul took 3 chapters to tell them, you have all sinned. Whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, all of you have sinned. You've all, what is sin? Sin is to miss the mark. The mark is the character of God that we spoke about just now, the heart of God. We don't want to miss that. And last time we made it very practical. We started speaking about our tongue. And we say, if you read James 3, the whole chapter of James 3 is about the tongue. And we said that our lives have momentum, but if we let this tongue run free, it will cause us to go off the path, to miss the mark. I used the example of going to Paris by ship, not realizing that there's no sea that's running against France. So let's rather use London. So a ship is going to London. Barbara, you picked up on that. Ship is going to London, and the captain turns that ship. That ship will still go for a few kilometers because of momentum before that ship will start turning, say, to go to Canada. It's like that with our mouth. When we start mouthing off, just let this tongue run freely, it will affect our lives. Therefore, the Bible encourages us to speak goodness, speak friendliness, speak the truth, speak what is in the Bible, because that is the life that's going to impact your life. It's going to keep you on the right road. You're going to reach your destination by just speaking the truth of the word. The most important thing that we got to last time, and that was verse 18, is the reason for all these things happening was that in their hearts there was no fear of God. So the root in the heart was that they had no fear of God. That's why they were mouthing off. Their feet were going towards destruction. They did not see God. They were no good because of not having the fear of God in their hearts. Okay, so that's where we are now. Just wanted to give that background. I'm going to give you the short version. Okay, justification by faith in Christ Jesus. We said faith is Hebrews 11 verse 6. Faith is to know that God is. So I'm going to read us Galatians 1 verse 3. Galatians, also one of the epistles, one of the letters that was written by Paul to the Galatians. Galatians 1 verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Just these two words, grace and peace. Grace in Greek is charis, and charis is a gift. It's something that's freely given. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it talks a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is charis, it's gifts that is given. I've said before, the word of knowledge works easily through me. The Lord's blessed me with that, to work through me. But I can never say, this is my gift. The Holy Spirit alone works the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. So in this context, if he says grace to you, it means it's freely given. God freely gives that grace to you. Grace is always, let me just write here, I made a note here, Martin Luther in his commentary on Galatians says, the article of justification must be sounded in our ears incessantly. That's the topic that we have. The article of justification must be sounded in our ears incessantly, because the frailty of our flesh will not permit us to take hold of it perfectly and to believe it with all our heart. Come back to grace. Grace remits sin. Peace quiets the conscience. I don't know why it is, but we really want to knock ourselves down. We are really hard on ourselves. And that's why Martin Luther is making this statement and saying the frailty of our flesh does not want to accept justification. What does justification mean? There's been a court. The court was in heaven. There was an accuser. There was a guilty party. The accuser is Satan. The guilty party is us, because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But a ransom has been paid for us. And that ransom is the blood of Jesus. One drop was enough to pay for our sins. For the sin of the whole world, one drop. But Jesus didn't give one drop. He gave everything, all his blood. When they put that spear into his side, water and blood ran out. He gave every last drop of blood for every one of us. He paid a ransom. He paid the price to free us from sin. So if Satan the accuser comes before God and say, Luan has sinned, God says, where? What? Where did he sin? I see him as just. He's been declared just. He's been declared innocent. He has not sinned. That is what Jesus has done for us. Sin and conscience torments us, but God has overcome the fines forever. You look at the garden, the moment Adam and Eve listened to the enemy and followed after him, they became aware of their own nakedness. Guilt came in. Their conscience started attacking them. That is our problem, people. We sin because of the frailty of our flesh. And then we get stuck with our conscience and feeling bad. And we sort of turbocharge it because we push ourselves down and say, I'm never going to get this right. You're right. We are not going to get it right. It's a free gift. Righteousness is not something we can work. Righteousness is something we receive. When we started with Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, Paul says, I'm not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed. So the gospel is about this righteousness, who God is. God is always right. He is righteous. God cannot be corrupt. He cannot be ungodly. He is righteous. He's always right. Because his truth is light. And that righteousness, who he is, he gave that to us. The moment we believed the gospel, he gave us his own righteousness. That's why we cannot believe another gospel that says you've got to work for righteousness. You've got to work to be holy. We are already holy because of righteousness of God. We cannot work to be holy or become more holier because of our works. It sounds so simple, but it's like our flesh doesn't want to allow us to accept this gift of righteousness and walk in it. And there's a peace in this when we accept this righteousness that's been given to us. I'm going to read us 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23. Are you guys with me? Tell me if you're losing me, then I'm going to go back. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23. Let me start with 22. For Jews request a sign, The Jews want to see a power sign. They asked Jesus as well, show us a sign. I think in a way Jesus was fed up. And he said to him, there's only one sign you're going to get. And that's Jonah. What was he saying to them? As Jonah was 3 days in the stomach of that fish, I'm going to be 3 days in the belly of this earth. And as Jonah was spit out, hell is going to spit me out. Because God is going to tell hell, spit out Jesus. Like he told that fish, spit out Jonah. But Jonah, after 3 days, cried out to God and said, God, deliver me. I will be obedient to you. And he went to Nineveh. That whole city came to the Lord. So the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. You see, for the Greeks, they couldn't believe it. It was foolish for them. This wisdom that comes from above, this wisdom that says righteousness is from above. Because they believe that when you do right things, then you are righteous. When you look, for example, after your parents, you are righteous. And it can never work that way. And a lot of religions, even Christian religions around the world, is based on works. And because of our works, we are righteous. But it's not that way. It's first righteousness, then God works his works through us. Listen to this statement. The grossest vices are small faults in comparison with the wisdom and righteousness of this world. These prevent men from accepting the gospel of the righteousness of Christ. You understand that? We can look at an alcoholic and say, yo, that is a bad sin, being an alcoholic. But the worst sin is being wise in our own eyes. Being self-righteous. That is much, much worse. That makes that alcohol problem like something very small. That's what he's saying here. 1 John 4 verse 10. So the whole time you'll pick up on a scene, he's speaking to the heart. And he's saying, I don't want you to be wise in your own eyes. I don't want you to be righteous, self-righteous, because I've given this to you. I've given you wisdom. I've given you righteousness. You don't have to work it up in your flesh. 1 John 4 verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We're going to speak about propitiation in this section. There was an area in the Holy of Holies where there was the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat was on top of the Ark. And once a year, the high priest, the Jewish high priest, he will slaughter an innocent lamb, and that blood he will sprinkle in on this mercy seat. And they call that the propitiation, the covering of sin. For 1 year, sin will be covered. Next year, atonement. The Day of Atonement, we will come back. I think it's the Feast of Kippur, something like that. I think it's the Kippur Feast.
Yom Kippur.
Is it a week?
Yeah, it's sometimes 7 days, I think.
7 days. So, Yom Kippur, propitiation, it's a cover-up of sin. Now we know with Jesus, Jesus was that innocent lamb. His blood also flowed. He didn't go into the Holy of Holies on earth. Remember the tabernacle and the temple represented what was shown to Moses in heaven. So it was a replica of what was in heaven. Jesus went into the actual place in heaven, in the throne room of God the Father. and he sprinkled his blood there. So that covering, that propitiation, was forever and ever. Doesn't have to be repeated in a year's time ever again. Once and for all, he sacrificed his life, and it covered sin. So let's start reading it's easier for me to read here. Let me go to Romans 3. I haven't got a microphone in my hand, so I think I'm just going to read from here. Romans 3, where are we? Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. It's the same as that. So he's talking again into God cannot be a liar. God is truth. He is light. He is all power. He cannot lie. Remember when God spoke in the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1, the first chapter, when he said, let there be light, there was light. That's how powerful God is. What comes out of his mouth, this word that I'm repeating this morning, we don't realize it, but it is so powerful. It carries through this world, through this area, into the city. It's got wings, because it is God, it is his words. Okay, the next verse 20, let me see here, where am I, 19. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We spoke about this, that it is not by the things that we do that we're going to be justified. Justification comes through propitiation, faith in Jesus Christ. He covered our sins. That is what makes us just. Now he's starting a section, God's righteousness through faith, that's going to carry us up to Romans 12, from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Am I still there? Let's carry on to the next one. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's a few points I want to make here. Paul is arguing in this book that you've got to know yourself. You've got to confess that all have sinned. He's saying to the Greeks and the Romans, but he's speaking to all of us here. Not us, but those that are wise in their own eyes and those that are self-righteous. He says, confess that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. He's saying against thee, it comes from Psalm 51, where David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Secondly, he says, humbled by the law and brought to a right estimate of himself, he repents. So that's the work of the law. The law is like this teacher that shows us towards the truth. The law never was... There was more than 600 laws. You cannot obey all those laws. It was never meant to be obeyed in that way from the flesh. Jesus came and he said he fulfilled the law, because he said, I want you, think about the cross, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and I want you to love your neighbor as yourself, to love each other, to love the world out there as yourself. That is all the law. Why? Because God is love. So when we truly love, we live according to God's law. So he said, first of all, confess. Know yourself and confess. Secondly, repent. Third, lament. What is lament? Lament is almost like a complaining. But if you look at Lamentations, Book of Lamentations, and there's a few Psalms as well, where the psalmist will say, God, when are you going to do this? What is going on here? And then at the end of that psalm, you'll see him saying, God, but you are good. Barbara, you know this. You are good. You are faithful. So he's saying, lament. Who is going to help me? So we need to realize where we are. And then comes the gospel when you reach that state. Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Believe in Jesus Christ, who was crucified for your sins. Remember, your sins have been imposed on Christ. And this is how we can help people as well. If people say, I don't have an answer for my life, for the world I'm in at the moment, where I'm at, take them through these steps. Bring them to that place where they realize that they all have sinned, everyone, that they need God. They need this work that Jesus has done on the cross to restore us back to the Father. And now when you've believed this, you are delivered from sin, you are justified, and you are heirs of everlasting life. It's important that we paint a true portrait of Christ. He's not the lawgiver, he's the life giver. He's the forgiver of sins. And now, we spoke about it just now. What do we do when we sin? When we've done all this and then we sin. Remember that our sins are covered. That's the propitiation that happened. Remember that grace and peace. Grace is against sin. Peace is on our conscience. Our conscience will attack us, and it is good. It's good for our conscience. It is not good for Satan to condemn us. We don't accept that. We accept the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but we don't accept the condemnation of Satan. Satan will make us hopeless. He will push us down in a hole and he'll try to keep us there. So when we sin, remember your sins are covered. Jesus did that. God will not lay them against your child. I used Luan just now as an example. God sees him innocent. He says, what? Where did he sin? Because he's innocent. He's been declared innocent. That is just justification. Where Christ and faith are lacking, there is no remission or covering of sins, but only condemnation. So there is no hope for this world outside of Christ. You can study wisdom. There's lots of wisdom teachers in the world. There's lots of philosophers, Greek philosophers, Plato, Socrates. You can study that as much as you want. The only true wisdom comes from God. Only true righteousness comes from him. 1 John 1 verse 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Are you guys there? 1 John 1, verse 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So when we fail, we go to God and we confess. And God comes and he washes us clean. He declares us clean. So, good works now follow. It's the last point I'm making here. Good works follows from being in this state of righteousness, of being justified. Since you have found Christ by faith, begins now to work and to do while his works is now working through you. So is the law bad? When we speak about the law, we speak about civil law, moral law, Mosaic law, ceremonial law, like for example circumcision is ceremonial. It is bad only because it cannot justify us. It is not bad, the law is not bad, but it cannot justify us. Only Jesus, by his blood. That's very important. Only Jesus can justify us. Only faith in his blood can justify us. Let's carry on with that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, God is just, but he's not only just, he justifies us. He justifies everyone that believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Okay, the last slide is not part of this sermon, but I just want to take us there. Romans 4 verse 1 to 4, 5. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Remember, Abraham was before the law. The law was given on the mountain. And circumcision started with Abram. When God made a covenant with Abram, circumcision was, so the ceremonial law started, the Mosaic law started later on the Mount of Sinai. For if Abram were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There's the clincher. Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So it's very simply saying, you can't work the righteousness, you can't work up a debt that God owes you something. It's freely given. You just need to receive it. Okay, so this morning we just looked at this progression, and I'm not just speaking to you and to us, but I'm speaking in a way that we, many years ago in London, Stratford-upon-Avon, just outside of London, I attended the trainer course, and I came back and I gave training to different clients that we had. And this is almost like that moment. It's a train the trainer. I'm training you to go and train others. So you see a person that is wise and powerful, that's self-righteous. You get them to confess that everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is not, don't confuse various sins with sin. Since we spoke about an alcoholic just now, we can use cursing, that's a sin. Pornography, that's a sin. It's different sins. He's not speaking about that here. He's speaking about sin. Sin is missing God. Sin is missing the cross. Loving God, and from that loving. So he's using two words, I think in chapter 1 of Romans. He's using ungodliness when we are not loving God, and he's using unrighteousness towards men, towards people, when we are not loving people. It's in love that we are missing God. It's not in smoking, drinking, all these obvious sins. Those are different sins. And we judge each other, because now I don't smoke, but Opa smokes. I'm not saying you're smoking, Opa, but now I'm judging him because I'm not smoking and he's smoking. I've got no valid foundation for that. Sin is sin. Missing God in not loving, that is sin. Not all these other sins. And then we judge one another with these different sins. So when we get the person to confess, it is about everyone has sinned. Sin is also called iniquity, which means I followed my own way. So God is moving in this direction, Marius is moving in that direction. I'm following my own way. So repentance, what we spoke about just now here, repent in the next step. Repent is a turnaround or a change of mind. It's like a metamorphosis that's taking place in the mind, where we go in a completely different direction. That's God's direction. We may still sin, like we say there. What happens when we sin? Sin is when we turn back again to our old ways. Then we confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he comes and he cleans us and we go back after God. Simple. Confess, repent, lament. The gospel, now we're delivered from sin. Now we start walking in the works of God, the good works of God. Is it understandable? I tried to make it as simple as possible. It's not complicated. It's just about this heart. It's not about what's happening on the outside. What's happening in here? Is this heart loving God? Is this heart loving people? That is our compass. That's our GPS. Okay. What was that GPS you mentioned in the beginning? Gospel. What was it? The love people. That's the P. Obey the Spirit. And preach the gospel. GPS. Preach the gospel. Love people. Follow the Spirit. GPS. So your heart is your GPS. Because God is love, we love. Okay, there's nothing else I can say. Unless you have a question or two. No questions. Okay, let me pray for us.
Yeah, technically.
Okay.
What if with sin you keep on doing over and over, even though you ask for forgiveness the first time, and then you still keep on doing the same sin?
It's like that with all of us. That's why Paul could say at the end of his life, I know every one of Satan's tricks. He's got no hold over me. Because he had that weakness. We don't know what it is. But he said, he even called it an angel of Satan that was buffeting him. And he said, I've asked God to remove this from me. And God said to him, my grace is enough for you. So we all have these weaknesses, and weaknesses are good. I think in a way it keeps us humble. It's not nice when we sin, because then our conscience attacks us, we feel bad. But I always say to the young guys when they ask me this question, sometimes I go to varsity and I go and sit with them and we take Ephesians 1 and 2 and we work through it. Our identity in Christ is so important. And when we miss the mark, when we sin, it's important that we don't lose our identity in the process. That we realize that in Christ Jesus we are suffering. In Christ Jesus we have died. When he hung on that cross, we hung there with him, in him. When he went to hell, we went with him to hell. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected with him. And then the best part is when he was seated in heavenly places next to the Father. Ephesians 2 says we were seated with him there. That's a way to start your day. When you get up in the morning, no matter how you feel or what you've done the previous day, Lord, I'm seated with you in heavenly places. I'm starting this day from that place. It's not about pride. It's about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Alpa, I haven't got good news in terms of your flesh. It's going to be with you until Jesus comes. It's not going to go away. And it's like that with every one of us. And not one of us here is perfect. All of us has got weaknesses, and we struggle with this flesh on a daily basis. But don't lose your way. Don't lose hope. Our hope is in Jesus, that he's coming again. Then we're going to be rid of this flesh. This body is going to be glorified in an instant when we see him. So that's the last part of salvation. Salvation starts with justification. That's when you come to him. Then there's a sanctification that's happening. That's our mind changing all the time, every day. And then at the end, when Jesus comes, there's a glorification. In a moment, we get new bodies. That's why Jesus, after resurrection, could move through the wall. They were afraid, the disciples, the doors was locked, and the next moment he was standing in between them. Because he had a glorified body. Okay, let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you are the one teaching us. I pray, Holy Spirit, as we go from here, that you will keep on teaching us, that we will take these scriptures, read it, meditate on it, and it will become part of us, that we will eat it like we eat bread or meat or vegetables, that this will be our food, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.